Well, good morning and welcome to Discovery Community Church Online. We are so glad that you've joined us. We're going to have a great time this morning of worship and a great time of prayer. And we're also going to have a great time getting back into God's Word. We're in a series right now called The Gray from the book of Genesis and one of the more challenging moments in Abraham's life. I think you're going to find some things that you relate to in his life. Christmas is also in the air and we got a lot. Well, it's not only there, it showed up here on top of my piano. And we got a lot of really neat things coming up as a church, even in this COVID season. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and what a difference that makes in our life. I want you to hear more about some of the things that are coming up from our host this morning. Our host is Jesse. Jesse is our site lead at our Tacoma in-person worship experience, our Tacoma pop-up. He's going to be our host this morning for our service. And then after he talks a little bit about some things that are coming up and leads us into a time of worship, you're going to get a chance to meet and hear from our site lead at our Puyallup campus. This is Pastor Tyler, and Pastor Tyler is going to be leading us through the book of Genesis this morning and Abraham's story and his encounter with the gray. You're going to be completely blessed to get to meet him and also just watch him help us navigate through Abraham's story and encounter God this morning. I want to remind you to send in those prayer requests, engage all the way through the service. This is church, and engaging is such an important part of the experience. So take a few minutes, send in a prayer request, engage a little bit, and at the end, join with us as we pray for one another and stand with one another. Though we are in different places, maybe in different homes, we are still standing together as one church. God bless you.
Good morning, Discovery. Welcome to the Sunday morning live stream. As John said, my name is Jesse, and I am just so glad that you guys are here this morning. I'm the Tacoma campus lead here and out here, and can I just tell you the great stuff that God is doing in our community, in Discovery, on the east side, and all through Pierce County. It is so exciting to see. I don't know about you, but this last season has been difficult. COVID, and it's been hard to navigate the ins and outs sometimes, but we have a very exciting thing coming up called Beyond 2020. If you haven't signed up for a Beyond 2020, Pastor John is hosting these meetings over Zoom where he's talking through and casting a vision for the next year. If you haven't signed up for one of these yet, please do. The best way to do that is to type Beyond 2020 into our text to prayer line, and you'll get information on how to sign up. It's a great time to learn about where we're heading as a church community and as a family. So please jump on and find out what's going on beyond 2020. The next thing is, as we kind of go through our live stream today, we want you to interact. This is church. So drop a like, drop a heart. If you're on our website, then fill out one of the connection cards to let us know that you're there. And we would love to connect with you however you're meeting with us today, whether that's in person or online. And as we enter into the Christmas season this year, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. My kids love Christmas. And we love this time of year just because of the excitement that it brings. And not just because it's presents and toys and all the fun stuff, but it's really Jesus, right? And so we've been celebrating Advent this year as a family, and we'd love to share it with you today. Last week, we had the candle of hope, and this week, we're going to be lighting the candle of peace. And if you would just read with me, it's Isaiah chapter 40, and it says this: "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This week, the candle represents preparation and also represents peace. I love the idea that even in the unknown, even in the gray, which is the name of our series, that we can rely on a Savior who gives us great peace. I'm excited for the message today. Pastor Tyler, our Puyallup campus pastor, is going to be here sharing with us as we learn more about Abraham's life and how to navigate the gray. Thank you, guys. It's going to be fun.
Hello, Discovery. Pastor Tyler here. I'm the lead for our Puyallup campus, and I wanted to let you know that Tracia, the kids, and I are all excited about what's going on at Discovery, and we're really excited about what the Lord is doing in Puyallup. I know that we haven't met yet, many of us, especially not in person, and that's because I started right as COVID started, started in April. And so we didn't get a chance to meet you in person at Giadroni. And I'd love to take this opportunity now to invite you to come and join us at Puyallup. We meet at the Fruitland Grange, and we meet at 10 a.m. It's right behind the Puyallup Costco, and we've taken a lot of precautions and safety. The team's doing a great job preparing for you. So when you're ready, we'd love to see you at Puyallup. I'm thrilled to bring the word today. I have been prepping for multiple weeks and working with our pop-up leads last week, and I thought Jesse did a fantastic job bringing us into the gray as we've been exploring Abraham's life. Today, we are going to move out of the gray, and I'm excited to share some of the word with you. I want to share one neat thing that we do at home, or one maybe saying that sticks with us. You know, a cliffhanger is something that happens where you're hanging off the cliff, and then it's to be continued, and it's part two of the story. Last week was very much a cliffhanger. We left you without resolving the tension. Now, in my house, we call those hang cliffers. So, sorry to leave you on the hang cliffer. We're going to get resolution today. There's no need to hang on the cliff any longer. But first, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for technology. I thank you that we can gather when things are gray. Lord, I'm so thankful for how you provide and how you lead and how you guide us. And I pray that you would speak to each of us today. Lord, open our ears and open our hearts to your word. Speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bible handy, you're going to need it today. And if you're a kid, you really need it today. We're going to open up to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to look through from verse 1 all the way to verse 19. Now, kids, I want you to pay attention as I read through this, and then I'll ask a question for you at the end. So if you're still getting your Bible, it's okay. Genesis 22, 1 through 19, and I'll have a question after we read God's word. 22 verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey and he took two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship and we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and he said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham said. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they had reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took his knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And when he went over, he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time, and he said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all the nations on the earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off to Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. All right, kids, that was a long passage to go through, but I've got a little bit of homework for you. I want you to go back to the top of the passage verse 1, and go all the way through 19, and I want you to look for one word, and count how many times that word is there. The word is son. Okay, so go ahead and take a look. You can look at whether you're looking through your phone or you can look in a paper Bible, but look through and count how many times they're there. And I want you to put those in the comments. So if you have mom or dad help you make those notes of how many times you count the word son in Genesis 22, 1 through 19. How many did you find? When I went and looked, the word son is used 13 times in this passage. That's a lot. And the author of Genesis is doing something with this. So if we look at the language carefully, we can see that Abraham's son, Isaac, is actually pointing to Jesus. The whole situation leads directly to the gospel, and it begins with the word son. So the first point is both Isaac and Jesus were beloved sons. Back in verse 2, we see that God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, whom he loves. Now, some passages say begotten son, but the point is the same. This love for his son. Verse 12 uses the same language. The language reminds me of Matthew 3:17, where right after his baptism, right after the baptism of Jesus, God says, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So there's very deep love for Isaac and for Jesus. We can see both there. Let's take a look back at verse 9. When they reached the place that God told them about, Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Last week, we said that it's gray when we don't have enough information to move forward. And it's not until verse 9 that we see that Abraham got more information. But the passage doesn't tell us. Sometime between verse 2 and verse 9 and back in history, God told Abraham where he needed to go. It's important to realize that the author of Genesis is giving us more than just the words that are on the page here. The point is that we are not, it's not the point isn't that we're missing God's exact instructions of where on the mountain and which exact place to be, but that God will faithfully provide the information that he promises. In verse 10, it says, he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. This is probably the hardest verse in the whole passage. All of Abraham's journey is tested here. All the preparations are complete. And with knife in hand, he's ready to slay his son. Can you feel it? That tension? It's just, it's pent up. As a parent, this moment terrifies me. So many questions come to mind, but it also makes me think of chickens. You might not know this, but we have 13 chickens. Okay, we used to have 14 chickens. Well, actually, we had 16 chickens. We gave one away. One was a rooster. Well, two were roosters, and one just died. Now, the rooster wasn't a problem in our pen until he started crowing. Now, if you've heard crowing, it's not terrible. But it's not your favorite thing to hear first thing in the morning, especially if you're snug in your bed in these cold mornings and you hear a rooster crow. Now imagine you're my neighbor that hears that rooster crow. You're probably not happy that I've got chickens at that point. Now, we don't live in a huge city, but it's against the city rules to have a rooster. It's because they can be noisy. They can sometimes be aggressive. And my wife and oldest daughter did their best to try to find a home for this rooster. But after many attempts, they couldn't find a new home. So I got to be the solution for this rooster. And it involved a knife. And on a very small scale, I got to feel like Abraham. And it wasn't my favorite task. It was difficult to slay that chicken. But I can't imagine what it must have been like to have my son under that knife. I'm thankful that Abraham was obedient for that. But the angel of the Lord called out to heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" And I imagine it must have been like, this is like that that tension in the movie where, you know, like the sound and the music and everything's built up to this moment. This is going to happen and here's the test. And the angel interrupts Abraham and he says, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham replies, "Here I am." Every time an angel of the Lord speaks to humans, it's a big deal. You can see this throughout scripture. It stops everyone in their tracks. It's sometimes scary. Most of the times, the first time an angel says something, it's don't be afraid. But Abraham was used to hearing from God's messengers. And he said, "Here I am." "Do not lay your hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you've not withheld your son, your only son." Verse 12 reveals the test. See, God wants to be first in Abraham's life. Actually, God wants to be first in all of our lives. This miraculous son that was born to Abraham could have become the focus of an object of Abraham's faith, worship. It could have stolen his focus from having God first. And it could have gotten in the way of Abraham following God's lead. After reading this passage and preparing for this message, I'm convinced that Abraham needed this test. And I praise God that he followed obediently. I'm just not sure that I could do the same thing. I also praise God that he's not asking me to sacrifice my only son. God's not asking for child sacrifice. He's asking for obedience and that he's first in our lives. The second point is that God actually provides the sacrifice. Abraham looked up in the thicket and he saw the ram by its horns. And he went over to the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. The provision in verse 13 brings a great comfort. I can kind of breathe a little easier. But it suggests that Abraham knew what the outcome was. We see this when we look back in the passage. In verse 5, he tells the servants that they'll both be back. And in verse 8, he tells Isaac that God's going to provide the lamb. Now, God provides that sacrifice. But it's not clear that Abraham knew that was the case. He just had faith that God was going to provide in that situation. The first audience to hear this would have been the nation of Israel. And there's debate on the timing, if this was the Israel that just left Egypt in the Exodus, or if this was post-exile, kicked out of the land, the people of Israel. But it's clear that either way, the circumstances aren't perfect. That the point of this passage is to trust that God will provide. And there's a really loud message that would have come through this. The lamb died so that Isaac could live. See, Isaac was like their great grandpa. And there was a substitution. The lamb took Isaac's place. And here again, we see another tie to Jesus. Just as God provided the sacrifice for Abraham, he does the same for us in Jesus. The whole passage is the gospel message. This is probably the first Old Testament example and perhaps the best Old Testament example of the gospel. See, God's solution to the problem of death is the gospel. And by choosing Abraham, God launches a plan to rescue the world. God will provide for Abraham just as he provides for you and for me. In John 1:29, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the ultimate substitute for our sin. He pays the price. His sacrifice makes a way for us to reconnect with God. And it's with an Abraham-like faith that we believe. Which brings us to our third point. Redemption happens through faith. With this Abraham-like faith, we believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. We also see in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it's by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises about his sacrifice, his own one and only son, even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could bring him, raise him from the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. The author of Hebrews here is showing us that Abraham's faith is what's being tested here. Not whether he can accomplish the task that is in front of him, but if his faith was placed in the right space. So I ask you of this story. Is the ram the hero, the provision that God gave? Or is it Isaac? You probably say no easily to those two. Maybe you'd say it's Abraham and it's his faith. And in a point, I could see that. See, but I think the real hero of the story is the one that provides the sacrifice. God is the hero of the story. The God who redeems Isaac. In verse 14, it says, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. See, verse 14, Abraham calls the place, the Lord will provide. It sticks. And Israel would have been still saying this at this time, hundreds of years later. It would have been a familiar saying. And that's what I would call it. I wouldn't say it's the moment where I almost killed my son. That's not how I tell the story. I would say it's the moment that God provided. In verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Verses 15 through 18, we see a repeat of the promise that God made to Abraham. Now, last week I said, Abraham's life as it goes through Genesis kind of does one of these, like a triangle. It starts off and each point along to the point of the triangle mirrors what's happened before in his life. And so this promise is restated to bring emphasis to what's already happened. In Genesis 13, 16, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk the length and the breadth of the land I'm giving to you. We see this similarly in Genesis 15, 4 through 6 as well. Then the word of the Lord came upon him. This man will not be your heir, but a son of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the stars. Look at the sky and count the stars, if you indeed you can't count them. And then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, this was the design the whole time, to lead into this promise that God had already given to Abraham. In this promise, we see that Abraham is given a great name. We're still talking about it. What a great name that could be, that thousands of years later, people still remember the name and this moment in Abraham's life. God promised land to Abraham, a place that would ultimately become a nation. The nation was designed to introduce the world to God. And God promises to bless Abraham with more kids than can be counted. And I thought four was a lot. But who can count how many kids Abraham and Abraham's family tree? Can you even imagine how you'd go about the task? It'd be insane to try to count how many kids have come from Abraham's line. And that's a big reason why we see a lot of genealogies in the Bible. We see begats and begots and the father of and you can trace from person to person what that looks like. It's because there's a bigger promise that's under that, that there's a blessing to the whole nations. Now, if you've heard this before, you probably know that all those begats are there for a reason. They're there to point to Jesus. So how does this tie into the gray? Last week, we defined the gray as the response that we have when God asks difficult things of us. The gray is the moment when you step in faith towards what God is calling you into. So when we get through the gray and we look back, we don't see it. We don't see the gray. We just see the journey that we've walked. And our perspective is shaped by what we travel through. We see clearly through the gray when we look back. We see most clearly then. The Bible even shows us this as the story progresses. We can see what happened before with clarity. Take a look at Hebrews 11:8-9. By faith, when called to go to the place he would later receive as an inheritance, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. The same faith that God tests in this passage is the faith that was built when Abraham was messing up, when he was making mistakes, when he was failing. Praise God that Abraham's failure is not final, because it also means that our failure is not final. The gray can be a test of our faith, but it also reveals what's there. And I'd encourage you to build your faith before you need it. The gray will pass, but are you going to leave the gray changed? It'd be easy to say that Abraham's the hero, that his obedience was fueled his faith. But the true hero is God, the God who provides. The last point we can take away from the passage today is to celebrate the journey. I know at times it can seem crazy to celebrate what almost killed us making it through, with difficulties and challenges and ways that we didn't expect to be stretched. And I imagine this test would have deeply affected Abraham. He probably had dreams. He could have probably had PTSD. I don't know what he could have had. But I imagine he never forgot this moment that God called him to. And if he called us to it, I think we'd never forget it either. And we know that Abraham never forgot it because he told it to Isaac, who experienced it as well, but who told Jacob, who told Israel. And the story was, the God who provides. So the question is not whether we'll experience more gray or when we're going to experience more gray, but when it's going to come again. So how do we step out of the gray? We accomplish the mission that God, that we're called to complete. And we faithfully follow the God who provides. How do we respond when our faith is tested? How do we respond when the most important things are put to the test? Could be a loss of a job, loss of health, or the death of a loved one. These are all big things that reveal and test our faith. And the question is, will our faith sustain us in this time of devastating loss? Will we be faithful when the most important thing to us is revealed? Will we be faithful when the gray seems larger than life? The one thing I hope that you take away from Abraham's story today is to consider how that your faith may be bolstered before the gray comes. How do you build your faith before you need it? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your provision in our lives. I thank you that we don't struggle alone and that you are faithful and you provide. Thank you that we can trust that you're going to lead and guide us and help us to have obedience to do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope to see you at Puyallup soon. Thanks.
Man, thank you, Tyler, so much. I love that. I love the idea that, you know, God is so big and he knows the gray, that even when we're walking through it, that we can come out of it the other side. It's just, it's such a beautiful thing. And it takes me back to our Advent for today and to peace. So thank you for that, Tyler. As always, all throughout the week, you guys have been sending us prayer requests. So I'd like to just point out a few of those and we could pray for them today. We have a lot of prayers for children today, for young children and grown children, for their relationships with their parents, for their relationships with each other, for sickness. We have some prayers for COVID specifically, some people who have been going through and walking through COVID, sickness and just dealing with the recovery period. We have Doug is going to be going through open heart surgery on Wednesday. Let's pray for Doug. That's a big deal. We have people traveling. You know, this time of year is ripe for travel, and this type of year we have maybe the first time people going through holidays without each other, whether that's a sick family member or whether you're doing Christmas separate this year. That can be challenging for a lot of us. We have people going through unemployment that we want to pray for. People find blessings with jobs and with careers, and just pray for, I love this last prayer, pray for me to be a vessel to serve God's love and compassion with skill and energy at work. I love that, that everywhere we go in our day-to-day lives, that we would seek to serve God and love him and show compassion to others. So I think right now, let's lift these prayers up. Would you pray with me today? God, we just, we lift these things up to you. You know the hearts and you know the situations of everybody here. I pray that you would lift up these individual prayers. I pray that you would touch the hearts of children, grown children and small children, that you would help their relationships with their parents, that you would help them follow you. I pray that the seeds instilled in kids when they're young would grow and flourish as they get older. I pray for those of us that are going through sicknesses right now, whether that's COVID or any other sickness. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray that your will would be done in those moments. I pray for those of us that are struggling maybe with unemployment, looking for jobs or careers, or maybe that's the gray. Maybe there's unknown going on. I pray for those of us that want to be better and be more compassionate in our daily lives with those we work with those we see on a regular basis. I pray that you would allow us to be a light to people that we encounter, that through us that they would see you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. As always, guys, it's been so good spending the morning with you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.